Well, good morning. We're going to continue in a series. We'll be finishing up according to this theme that we're touching on this morning, a series that addresses what we are made for, and that is that we're made for something more than just simply getting through life, but we were made by God for worship, particularly. And the sub-idea here is that God made us to worship together. This is something that God intends for you and for me. There is kind of the idea, and I'm not sure I agree with it entirely, the idea that worship is a personal matter meant to inspire the individual. I get part of that because I experience part of that. Worship does inspire us. It does inspire the individual. But there are very often with this individualistic look, we're losing something that the biblical text, the Old Testament and the New Testament, talks about how we were meant to worship together, to experience God's presence together, and that worship is maybe it's the wrong focus if it's about inspiration and not more about transformation. Worship ought to be aimed at that, transformation, where we come and stop and pause, for example, in quietness before a holy God, and we ask God to speak to us, to speak to our lives. That's much more than inspiration. It's about transformation. If that's true, then some of the more central aims of worship as we come before God is to be together before God, to hear from God, to draw together and be transformed together. We are trained by God, Christ, the great teacher of his church. The church is where we hear the true story of who God is and who we are and how our lives should be lived. So let's take a look at that this morning. We're going to look at Psalm 84. And you'll note if you turn there in your Bibles, the Psalm 84 has a caption over the top of it. It says, "For the director of music, according to Gideth of the sons of Korah." So this psalm was probably sung. It says, "According to Gideth." The word Gideth, people think that means an instrument. And the Gideth looks something like a guitar. So here is a Gideth, a replica that one Jewish historian made, and which resides in Kansas City in a Jewish museum. It is an 8 or a 4-stringed instrument. It's kind of interesting what we were doing today. We were in good company, singing according to the guitar, or with the guitar. And this was meant to be sung with a guitar or with instrumentation by the sons of Korah. Gideth is kind of a funny term, but it comes, they think, from this background. There is a city called Gath, and Gath, a famous person came from. His name was Goliath. So Goliath the Gittite, you begin to hear Gideth and Gittite. Gideth is just an instrument that came from Gath. So that's what the story is behind that. This theme of this psalm is a wonderful theme. It's about finding our heart's true home through worship, and particularly that God meant us to dwell and to worship together, how we go about worshiping together, experiencing God who's at the center of our worship, and what it means to really value worship. Other thoughts included in this psalm are the advantages that accompany those who are in touch with God, in touch with the living God, the advantages that belong to the life of faith and the life of fellowship with a living God. It divides very simply into three parts, and you'll notice as we go through that the divisions are indicated by the little word sila. And we're not sure exactly how that was used, but the word sila, they think, was used as a pause either in the singing or a pause that could have been instrumental, an interlude of some kind. It was a pause. But what do pauses do? Very often pauses help us reflect on just what we've heard. So sila might be translated like this. Think about that. Just think about that. So each section ends with that. That's part of the organization of what we have. I'd like to play a song that comes from this song. So I'd like for us to just enjoy this. You can sing along if you'd like to sing as well.
Better when spent in humble.
Enjoy the song that is used there, drawn right straight from the text of the psalm that we're going to be taking a look at. It begins reading first, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty." This, you can see that worship involves remembering, reflecting. The psalmist is, of course, looking and thinking about the temple in Jerusalem, and about God's presence in the temple. There was a glory that shone from the temple, and his heart was captivated by it. Often living elsewhere, pilgrims went to Jerusalem to worship, and he's remembering these wonderful, beautiful times. He uses memory about times, and probably you have that too. There have been times, places, experiences that you've had with the Lord that remind you of his great and wonderful presence. It talks about his dwelling place, again, the temple in Jerusalem, probably in this text, and the Holy of Holies. But in the 1 Corinthians 6:9, we're reminded that our bodies are actually temples of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we could read the words somewhat like this, like in this psalm, "Oh, the joy of having God live in me and help me." It is possible for us to be Christians, but not to be the Christian that we were meant to become. If we miss this point, that worship is about transformation of our heart and our very lives. The psalmist, I think, here urges us. And he goes on to say, note the word, "O Lord Almighty." In the New International Version, you find it that way. In the King James Version, you'll see it, "O Lord of hosts." Hosts, what are hosts? Do you know what a host is? An army. A host is a great army of people. It's translated here in the King James, Lord of hosts, Lord of great armies. I find it interesting in the Message Bible, the version, it paraphrases something that's actually true there. It's called, "O Lord of angel armies," is the way it describes it. Lord of angel armies. What it depicts is someone who is mighty, like the King James Version, the New International Version translates it, one who's mighty because he's in charge of all the hosts of God. So here is someone that we come to in our worship who's mighty, Lord of everything. Not only angel armies, but he's Lord of everything that he's made, and even of you and me. O Lord of hosts. I like the song, Whom Shall I Fear? Have you heard that song, Whom Shall I Fear? A wonderful worship song. The subtext is, God of angel armies, whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side, the one who reigns forever. He is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. So the first thing the psalmist sees is the inner beauty of God. The beauty that God creates by his presence. How lovely is your dwelling place, O God. I see a second thing that he does here, especially in verse 2. In verse 2, he one moment, please. There we go. I see desiring in this worshiper. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Have you ever felt this way? Have you known that deep-seated longing to have more of the glory of God in your life? More of the sense of his presence in your life? It's so interesting how after feeding on God's word and being full for a moment, suddenly you have an ache and you have a desire to experience more of the same. So we are hungry and yet filled. We are thirsty and yet filled. It's an interesting experience. Longing. It's a strange paradox, this wonderful ability that God has to satisfy us and at the same time to make us hungry for more. It can be in plenty or want. It can be in difficulty or ease. It can be in excitement or boredom. It can be any time. But it's not just a passive thing that just happens to us. It's active. God's grace moves on our hearts. And out of that, we respond with desiring. We were meant to respond this way with our whole lives. An example of that comes from John's Gospel. There the Lord met a jaded, bored woman who came to a well. She had run several relationship experiences through her life, had already had five husbands, trying vainly to find someone that would satisfy her life. I think probably it'd be safe to say that life for her had grown tedious and dull and boring. And Jesus answers her this way at the well. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. He promises living water for spiritual thirst. Whatever my outward circumstances are, even if they are boring. Any of you run into that recently? Sometimes you've been in a job for so long and things can get a little tedious. I would just point you to this living water that Jesus has to offer to you. We are encouraged to drink from that which is within us. To take a good long drink from the living God who lives within, the God who refreshes our character and our very being. Worship moments help us remind us of who God is in our relationship, that God is continually there. And if we do that, our spirits will be refreshed when we come back to the work the same old work, it's with a new attitude. I think that's what our psalmist is teaching us here, to take our longing to worship and to meet God there. The next two verses describe the contentment that comes from being in the presence of God. It's through reflecting. I think verse 3 comes out of reflection. It reads this way, and he's reflecting on two kinds of birds. Which kind of bird is this? A sparrow. And this? A swallow. It's really fun to think, okay, he saw in the temple two kinds of birds, and he stops and he reflects. So let's take a look at that. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Now, do you remember that Jesus often spoke about birds, even sparrows? He says in Matthew's gospel, not one of them will fall to the ground without your Father's will. And then he also said, are you not of more value than the sparrows? Okay, it's kind of an interesting comparison that he makes. He's saying, are you not more valued than the sparrows? And when it comes to these birds, we kind of do value different birds, don't we? How many people, their favorite bird is the sparrow? I'm not getting any hands here. Okay. What about swallows? Anybody have, okay, there's one. You love the swallows. Can you tell me why you like the swallows? Graceful. Eat thousands of mosquitoes, so they're helpful. It's swallows. It's interesting that we've kind of expressed a valuing here, and one that the psalmist he's observing both these beautiful birds, or both these birds. Some of you may not see the sparrow as a beautiful bird. It may be kind of pesky. I find it interesting, as I've reflected on his reflection, this difference between the two. Sparrows are often considered less than. And I know that this is pushing the text for a little more meaning than probably is there, but sometimes I feel less than. Sometimes you feel less than, of comparative worth. I'm not like them. I'm not a swallow. And the psalmist is rejoicing in this fact. Swallows and sparrows alike have found their home in the house of God. Another little thought about swallows is that you mentioned they eat a lot of mosquitoes. There was a really funny hatch of little moths out here just north of the church. There were swallows in there, a whole flock of swallows that just, it was amazing. I don't know where they came from. It was like a cloud of swallows that were feeding on this hatch of moths that were around. And they were just darting in and out, and in and out, and in and out, and in and out. And I guess I thought, since I'm not a swallow, and I always tend to look at you look at from a sparrow point of view, that this ceaseless activity, sometimes describes us too, doesn't it? Not only do we feel less than at times, but there are times when there's ceaseless activity. And worship causes us, I think, to slow down. It causes us to stop and say, time out. That I think that's one of the beauties of our quiet time. It's a time out. I need to be with God. I need to stop for a moment. And so the sparrow and the swallow stop, and they have a place to rest and nest there near the altar of God. O Lord Almighty, O God of angel armies, again, same thing, my God and my King. Finding the heart's true home through reflecting. These are swallows. I just thought it was a wonderful picture. Obviously, the temple was open air. It's not tight. So maybe he sat there and looked at that and reveled in something like that. But obviously, he felt a kinship at that moment with what God was doing through nature and his own relationship with God. There was a kinship. Everything came together in that moment, and he was celebrating what God was doing in this place. O God of angel armies, look what you set up. And then they're celebrating. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. And we get our first pause, Selah. I'd like to pause for some fun. They are ever praising you. I'd like to just play a little clip of some people who are inspiring. And I think you've probably never heard this song before, but you will get it in a very short amount of time, and you can participate by clapping. So I'm going to start the thing. I'd like you to stand for a moment, and we'll just play this song. It'll take just a moment to get started. We'll sing it together.
God.
Let's take it up one more time. Every praise.
Every praise. praise.
Every praise.
Is to our God.
Zumba class, that song. Very good. I'd like to invite our worship team if they'd come forward here. And we'll just sing together, but let's just pause for a moment as we, oh Lord, there are times we have made worship something different and not about you, but more about us. And we ask your forgiveness for that. We realize that you have given us, invited us to know you. What an awesome, awesome thing it is. And that you give us this opportunity to be with each other and to be encouraged in our walk with faith and to learn more from each other about your work in our world.
Can I just lip sync to that? Is that okay? Prepare yourselves to be the instruments, because I'm inspired here. It's all you. Please stand with us in the closing song.
Sanctuary for you. Keep going. a living saint.